Nice to see you today. Everybody's been having a good time today, a good time of fellowship. Now, I told you today that we're going to look at John chapter 15, and that's what I want to do. So, somebody real quickly, tell me what John 15 is about. As George pointed out, it's the vine and the branches. There was a time that, do we have any gardeners in here? Not last name gardener, but successful gardeners? You know, there was a time that I thought that I wanted to be a gardener, but after fail, I decided I've learned a lesson, and that lesson was leave the gardening up to somebody else. That way, if you look at our garden at home, it's all natives. So they're easily maintained. But you know, there was a lady up in Queensland from a nursery, gave some good advice. She said, you know, your plants would do a whole lot better if you would water them. Go figure. So I'll leave the gardening up to somebody else. I don't have a green thumb. I think it's a black one. Anyway, Jesus is going to give us a snapshot today at the vine and the pruner and the branches. I think he is a brilliant horticulturalist. He knows what he's doing. So we're going to take a look at that, but first let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I thank you for the service this morning. Thank you that Jesus himself set the model for men. And that model is that good men do cry. Father, I thank you for his tender heart. Father, I pray now that we'll turn our focus on what you want to communicate to us through John chapter 15, this well-known, even many times memorized passage of Scripture. So, Father, open our eyes, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let me read this to you. Let me just say, it wasn't long after I got saved that Julie and I went to a youth conference down, it was a junior youth conference, and the passage of Scripture that they wanted us to memorize was this right here. So really, first up after I become a Christian, that was a main thing for the kids to memorize. Why? Why is this so important? And I hope today we'll be able to grasp why it's so important. So let me read it to you. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And I do hope you have your Bibles today on whatever device or Bible, whatever, because we're going to be using a lot of Scripture. We're going to let Scripture interpret Scripture, okay? Let's read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, when we go through that passage of Scripture, there's a lot of peripheral theological questions comes up. Some people say, oh, can we lose our salvation? It's not even mentioned in the text. So, you know, fruit branches are pruned. And oh boy, do I like pruning. Well, we could talk about that, and we will talk a little about it. Unfruitful branches are cut off and burned. That's rather severe. That's what he said. Thirdly, abiding in Christ brings great benefits. All right, that's fair enough. Well, what's abiding in Christ? You can ask 10 people and you'll get 12 different responses. What it means to abide in Christ. But everything here points toward one major theme. One major theme through the whole thing. And we'll find that in verse number 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. There is the point. Bearing fruit as believers. Let me ask a preliminary question. Are you bearing much fruit as a Christian? Let you think about it. The answer to that question would be, well, it depends on what bearing fruit means or what the fruit is. We'll look at some of those in just a few moments. So, perhaps Jesus is talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Well, he says in Galatians chapter 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I'm going to read that from the New Living Translation. But the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So if we were a Christian, if bearing fruit that Jesus is talking about in John chapter 15 reflects this, here's a question. Is your life as a Christian, is it dominated by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness? Do a quick evaluation of yourself. I think we probably don't have to get any further than patience, do we? This is one impatient society. How about peacefulness? So how are we all doing with that one? All right, well, let's continue. Perhaps Jesus was talking about winning people to Christ. We know that he gave a self-evaluation of himself, which was, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So that's what he came to do. And he's also told us to do the same thing. Let me read it to you, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He says us to go make disciples throughout the world. Well, the first step in making, what is the first step in making a disciple? Somebody real quickly. Leading them to Christ. There's a lot of people tried to make disciples out of people who aren't saved, and you got a mess. So you got to have people who are saved to make disciples. Then you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That we all know that. So, if leading folks to Christ and bearing disciples is what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 15, how are you doing? Are you a fruitful Christian? Well, since it's gotten quiet both times I've asked those questions, then perhaps we can understand why Jesus takes this whole passage of Scripture and focuses on bearing fruit. In his words, bearing much fruit. So hopefully by the time we get through this today, we'll all know how to bear much fruit. Okay. So what we want to do is do this expositorially. We're just going to go verse by verse, all right? Verse number one. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You know what? We can gain an awful lot of confidence in this one. Jesus is the vine. God the Father is the vine dresser. And you would think that God, the creator of all things, would know how to prune and take care of a vine, right? Do you think he knows what he's doing? Even if it's painful. Not a lot of yeses there. But he knows what he's doing. And we can gain a lot of confidence to know, Gail and I was talking and she used a phrase today, everything that comes into our life is Father filtered. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He limits the good sometimes so we don't get so puffed up. And he limits the bad sometimes so it doesn't destroy us. So in this vine analogy that Jesus is giving, God himself is the vine dresser. He knows what to do, and he does it. Now, let's look at verse number 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Here's where a lot of people get unstuck. You know, they start chasing all kinds of theological rabbits around. Let's just stay with the text. Let me explain this from some personal observations. Julie and I live out just past Little Fish Cafeteria in Lake Ennis Winery. And a couple of times a day, sometimes many more times a day, depends on how many times we run to the grocery store, we go past the winery and we see these vineyards out there in the field. And we can notice over time that it changes. You know, in the springtime, up they come, the buds bloom, they turn green, and it's not too long that you see all these grapes coming up, and sometimes they are just magnificent to watch all the grapes growing. And then the grapes are picked, and then all of a sudden everything turns brown. And then here comes the pruner. And the pruner comes along and he takes his, skillfully takes his cutters and he starts cutting all the dead wood off. And he cuts that dead wood off, and when he's finished, it really doesn't look all that good at all. All this fruitfulness is gone. But the vine dresser, the pruner, knows what he's doing, because the next year, whenever the spring comes along, up they come again. And so he knew what he was doing. And I think that's what Jesus is saying, that God is doing. Sometimes he comes in and prunes out the dead wood. Now, what does that mean? I'll let him explain. You talk to him about that. But let's just use the analogy. If you don't get rid of the dead wood, you're not going to have a harvest. Evaluate yourself real quick. Am I a live branch or otherwise? And then he says, those that are fruitful, he prunes. Here's another analogy. I think I've shared this one before. Up in Queensland, I planted a jacaranda tree. How many likes jacaranda trees? You probably heard this, but I'm going to tell it again. I planted this jacaranda tree, and I watered it in Queensland. Where we live, you have to water it all the time. Probably water it too much and kill it. But anyway, it started coming up, and it's nice and green and beautiful. And then it stopped growing, and it sat there beautiful and green for over a year. Nothing else, and I'm sitting here going, what do I do? I watered it, I fertilized it, what do I do? And then one day, you know, we've got these white birds called white cockatoos. And one time they decided they were going to attack the jacaranda tree. And all of a sudden, there's not a leaf on it anywhere. I went, oh, well, I guess that's ruined. I said, well, I'm just going to do whatever I can do. Let's just do something crazy. So I took my secateurs in, the secateurs, whatever you want to call them, and I went, cut it about halfway. I thought, that thing's going to die. Guess what? Pruning. Because I pruned that jacaranda tree, all of a sudden it just started exploding in growth. Sometimes the Lord has to do that with even fruitful branches. He has to prune them. Because remember, the whole purpose in this talk, this whole passage of Scripture, is bearing much fruit. I don't think God is satisfied with just bearing a little fruit. He knows the potential of each branch. And He knows if He will prune it, it will grow. So, from my own stories, I think that's what He's talking about. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear much more fruit. But keep in mind again, God is the vine dresser. He knows what He's doing. Let's look at verse number 3. Now, here's a verse that's almost out of context, but it's there for a reason. He says, "You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you." What in the world does that mean? Well, let's let Peter explain that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Peter says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Now listen, "having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." When a person hears the word of God, they trust Jesus that they've learned about through the word of God as their Lord and Savior. You are clean. "Though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." You are washed clean. Yeah, everybody remember, you know what it feels like when you get in the shower and you come out squeaky clean. Well, when the Holy Spirit comes in and you're forgiven of all those sins, you come out squeaky clean. So He is telling the disciples, you're already clean. But you might need some pruning. Okay? Verses 4 and 5. Here's some instruction. He begins to tell us how we can be fruitful as Christians. That's what we want to hear, right? Verse 4. "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, get this. Let me re-quote it. "Those who remain in me, and I in them, will," say "will" with me, "will produce much fruit." So here is a guaranteed biblical truth. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Wished I had that on a board to hang up. If you're going to memorize something, memorize verse number 4. If we remain in Him and He remains in us, we will. We can't help it but to produce much fruit. Sounds simple, right? But here's the alternative. "And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." And then He goes on at the bottom of verse number 5, "For apart from me, you can do" what? If you're not being fruitful, what's going on? What's that? That's it. We're not remaining in Him. Well, how do you do that? Everybody wants to know, how do we remain in Christ? This is the crux of the matter, isn't it? There's a good thing. Stay in the book. Anybody else have a suggestion? Prayer? Spend time? What's that? Yeah, well, it does help to come to church. Let's turn the negative into a positive. It does help to come to church. All right. So those are some good suggestions, but that's not necessarily what's in my notes, so I'm one ahead of you. First of all, let's look at this analogy. This branch that's been severed from the vine. All right. I'll go down to Lake Ennis, and the pruner cuts off this dead wood, and it's laying on the ground, and I pick it up, and I look at it. I can stick it in water. I can put a sunshine and all that. What's it going to do? I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to lay hands on it. I'm going to do whatever you want to do with that piece of vine that's been cut off. And what's it going to do? Why? It's not connected to the vine. So, Christian, listen here. Here's a Tony allergy. Never mind. If you're a Christian, you're not connected to Jesus, forget it. You're wasting your time. You got to get connected. Some of these things that people have said are very good. Spend time with Him, worship, prayer, spend time with the Word. These are important things. But Jesus gives us the answer. We'll look at that in just a second. Let's look at verse number 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. The whole point of that verse is to show you the value or lack of value of a branch, whether it's been fruitful or not. If it's not been fruitful, get rid of it. If it has been fruitful, it'll be pruned before it'll come on. Now let me ask you, evaluate yourself. Are you a fruitful Christian? That's something I think you probably need to dwell on a little bit throughout the week. If I'm not a fruitful Christian, what must I do to get hooked up again? Think about that. So now let's turn the corner. We saw what happened to branches that do not bear fruit because they were disconnected from the vine. Now let's look at the positive side. Let's look at the other side of the story, verses 7 and 8. If ye, or you, abide in me. Stop. What's that first word, if, mean?
A choice.
It's a condition. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it might be done for you. Is it that emphatic? Are you sure? It shall be done for you. So in other words, I can have guaranteed answer to prayer if I abide in Him and His words abide in me, right? Forget your theological dodges. Let's just stick with the text. If we abide in Him and His words abide in us, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. But you know what? I think the whole answer to this is it's what you desire. Because if you're hooked up with Jesus and you're close to Him, you're going to only want what He wants anyway. So it's going to be easy enough to answer your prayer because our desires are His desires. If our desire is not His desires, maybe you're not hooked up all that much. Something for us to ask ourselves, okay? And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Look at verse number 8. By this, my Father is glorified. Anybody want to glorify God? Come on, say praise the Lord if you want to glorify God. thank you for a little bit. Hey, but if you want to do that, you got to abide in who? Abide in him. And his words abide in you. I almost lost a finger. I was getting excited. By this is my Father, listen to this, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's what glorifies God. Oh, so you will be my disciple. Ooh, so a disciple will bear much fruit, right? Okay. Well, glorifying God is one reason that we should really focus on to staying connected with Jesus. All of us want to glorify God. But to become a fruitful Christian, we live out the fruits of the Spirit in our life, and we are involved in leading folks to Christ. Both of those things become ours. The love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience, those gifts, and leading folks to the Lord is something we can be involved in. And that will be the picture of our life if we're connected to Jesus. And about glorifying God, don't you know that's what we were created for? You know, we are created, I think it's the Westminster Catechism says something about the shorter catechism says the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I kind of like that. So that's what we're here for anyway. So how do we get there? How do we get there? How do we start abiding in Christ? Well, let's look. Verse number 9 through 13. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. So what's a way to abide in his love? Keep his commandments. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Now he begins to qualify what those commandments are. Verse 12, this is my commandment. How do you like that? We're asking what commandment, and he tells us which one. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, there you go. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. So two things to remain connected with Jesus. Well, first one is keep his commandments, and that is to love and honor God and to love one another. Boy, that was profound, wasn't it? I didn't see any great big long list, did you? So are we honoring God and glorifying God, and are we loving one another? I'm not talking about on Sunday. That's what we all do when we come here. How about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday? Do you honor God then? Oh, it's easy to honor God when we're singing and praying together and fellowshipping with the Christians, but do we honor God when we get up every morning? Do we honor him then? Do we honor him throughout the day? Do we love people throughout today, and not just Christians? Jesus spent a whole passage of Scripture by saying, listen, if you do those to only those that you love, what good is it to you? To the ones that's hard to do it to. Then we'll know that you're a disciple. So honor God, love people. You remember what Jesus, when they asked him what the two greatest commandments were, what did he say? Honor the Lord your God with all your mind, body, and spirit, and love each other as yourself. Simple stuff. Well, tell me it's simple Wednesday, all right? Nothing's going to happen on Wednesday. Well, maybe it will. If you want to stay connected to Jesus, you got to honor God. You got to love people. And what will happen if we do? Let's look at verse 16 and 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command to you, I command you that you love one another. You are the only one who can answer this question. I'm going to ask it. Do you love others? Not to just benefit you. That's not love. Love is doing something to benefit someone else. Do you love each other? I know all of us, when we do a self-evaluation, we want to be more fruitful people. We want to be Christians that's abiding in the vine. We want to be connected to Jesus. And it sure sounds from this passage of Scripture, the only way to do that is honor God and love people. So what are we going to do? Honor God and love people. Thank you. That was not a trick question. Thanks, Gil, for being bold. And if we do that, I'm going to reread to you the promise, and we're going to be done. John chapter 15, verses 7 through 8. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Everybody here want to be a disciple? That's how you do it right there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this challenge from John chapter 15. We all want to be fruitful Christians. Not just any fruit. We want to bear much fruit. And the reason we want to bear much fruit is because we know that glorifies the Father. And we become legitimate disciples when we do that. So Father, help us to spend a little bit of time this week and meditate and think about and talk to you about this connection that we have with Jesus. And if there's anything that's standing in the way, Father, point that out to us and then give us the courage to deal with it and get it out of the way. Get the rubbish out of the way where we can honor you adequately and we can love each other sufficiently. Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. Just had an idea for next week. You ever heard Jesus described as being radical? The radical Jesus, this meek and mild man, Jesus, is radical? Be here next week and we'll talk about that, all right? Have a great week.